according to St. John. St. John chapter 10, verses 1 through 10. Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by another way, is a thief and a bandit. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls out his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger, but they will run from him because they do not know the voice of strangers." Jesus used this figure of speech with them, but they didn't understand what he was trying to tell them. So again, Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate, and whoever enters by me will be saved, and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they might have life and have it more abundantly." Amen. And I just wanted to spend just a few moments in this. We've already said mostly what we wanted to say. And Jesus is simply saying, you know what? You can't listen to every voice that's out there. And there's a lot of voices out there. You know, back before television and computers and the internet and all that, you had radio, and that was really quite the thing when religious broadcasts could be made on the radio. Matter of fact, the first church that Terry and I, well, we took our internship at Walthy Street Baptist Church, and the seminary that we went to, you had to do a 2-year internship afterwards if you were in the pastoral theology program. And so Walthy Street Baptist, which was because it was located on Walthy Street, okay, which was the Walthy Street back in the early 1900s, but the community had kind of turned just a little bit. And so this is where we went and we did our internship. They were one of the very first churches in the state of Michigan to broadcast their Sunday morning message. And so when you sat up on the platform and you were looking at this old, I mean, that it was all hand, all turned, machined, whatever you want to say, formed a woodwork. And this was built between at the end of the 1800s, the beginning of the 1900s. And so it was absolutely beautiful. Big, and it was in a big horseshoe. So you could sit about 1,200 people down below and another 1,000 people, up above. It was one of the first super churches. And so when you were sitting on the platform there was a red light, a green light, and a yellow light. And so when you'd go up there at the service, before the service, it was on red. The light was on red. That means don't worry about what you say. The mics are not going all over the air or anything like that. But at 2 minutes before we went live, then the yellow light would go on. And everybody on the platform does this. Okay, checking their watches. And at straight up 9 o'clock on Sunday morning, that little green light flashes and the mic on that pulpit is being blasted out by one of those old fashioned 10,000 watt, relics of an AM station, WGM, I think, or something like that, which is, You know, you can tell it's an old radio station when it only has three letters, right? And so, anyhow, you knew when things were about to happen because that you would just look at the status of those lights. And I got to thinking, wouldn't it be really neat if God could give us, you know, these kind of like three lights so that when something was getting ready to happen, we'd have a heads up. Okay? And, the Holy Spirit is saying, something's getting ready to happen and the light goes on yellow. And you're sitting there, I don't know what's getting ready to happen, but, you know, we've got 2 minutes to find out. And, you know, then it goes to green and what's happening, and there you find yourself in the middle of it. And what Jesus is telling his followers is that the leadership of the Church of Jesus Christ just isn't for anybody. I used to have an old pastor that says there are too many preachers that have been called by Grandma instead of the Holy Spirit. And that Grandma had just always claimed for them, yes, this one here is going to be, you know, the preacher or whatever. And it turned out that, you know, the Holy Spirit didn't have anything to do with it. In my family, being the oldest son of the oldest son, I was supposed to be the priest. And so that my grandmother was just so proud when I joined the seminary, and she was just all excited. And when she found out when I was being ordained that I, you know, well, her first concern was for Terry. Can you believe that? Well, what about Terry? And I said, well, Grandma, in this religion, Terry gets to go with me. Oh, you're not going to be a Catholic priest. No, Grandmother, did I hurt your heart? You know, oh my goodness, you feel about that small, you know. But in fact, I was doing my very best to be obedient to the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And because Jesus explains, there's a lot of people that are going to put themselves forth as being a pastor, an evangelist, a great teacher, or whatever the case may be. But the question is, are they going in and out by the gate? He says there's a gatekeeper there. Now, the Holy Spirit doesn't tell us who the gatekeeper is in this, but I'm assuming that the Holy Spirit is the gatekeeper. All right, that if you're going to go into the sheepfold, that it's the Holy Spirit that open and closes the gate, so that only the authorized ones can go in. And keep in mind, unlike the stories that we have about Christmas where the shepherds are watching their sheep and abiding in the fields by night, that isn't reality. Reality is that when it's cold, we're going to bring the sheep in. And we're not, everybody isn't going to have their own little barn. A little village will have a common barn and a common sheepfold, and they will bring all the sheep in to this one place, and they'll have one person who stands at the door. It's his responsibility to let in only the authorized shepherds and no one else. And so Jesus said, everybody that's come before me, they're climbing over the walls. They're climbing over the fence over here. They are thieves. They're just trying to get in and steal the sheep. But if you're a true shepherd, then you're going to come in by the gate, and the Holy Spirit is going to recognize you and you'll come in. And that's what would happen. It's so neat that a shepherd back in that age spent so much of his time with the sheep that the sheep recognized his voice. And he'd give them names, and you would play with them, and you know, you had to, I mean, let's face it, this isn't the most involving job in the world. You're just watching after sheep. The only problem with watching after sheep is that they're stupid and they wander over cliffs. Okay? You ever wondered why God decided, let's see, how can I illustrate my children, my Christians? I'll call them sheep. As they fall into holes and they wander over cliffs and get stuck in trees and, you know, and all of those things. And so, coming back to this, so the sheep would know the voice of their shepherd because the shepherd spent all that time with them. And so when he would come in the morning and the keeper of the gate, the Holy Spirit, would open up the gate, recognize his authority, he would come in and he would just say, come on, come sheep, come. And they would just start to follow him out. His sheep, not the other guy's sheep. It's his sheep. And so he would go ahead and they would all gather outside. Then the next shepherd would go up. And his sheep would know his voice. And he would gather them all together. And then the next shepherd, he might have five or six flocks of sheep that are being protected here in the sheepfold. And the only thing that is separating out these sheep are not a brand, are not a mark, but it's the ability of that sheep to understand or recognize the voice of their shepherd. And so here you go, the day has started, and the shepherds, you know, they're outside. Okay, I'm going to take mine over to pasture over here. We got some good pasture, going to water, and they decide which way they're going so they're not eating up each other's pasture and water. And off they would go. And you didn't have to, get them to come out. They knew your voice, and they would follow you. They knew that good eating, great pasture, and wonderful water, he leadeth me beside the still water. Sheep will not drink from a rushing stream. If you have rushing water coming by, it doesn't have to be, you know, like a, whatever you call it in the grand, you know, a big rapids, a class 2 rapids where you've got all this foam and stuff. No, it just has to be rushing water coming by. They won't drink. They're afraid of it. He leads me beside the still water. And there they'll drink of it, and there they'll be satisfied. Amen? And they would spend that time with that shepherd, and they would recognize his voice, and still occasionally, especially the younger ones, are going to wander off and get in trouble, and the pleasures of sin for a season. And if the sheep continually wanders off and gets into trouble, well, the shepherd realizes this is a danger for this little lamb. If this continues, this is going to be, you know, detrimental to this little lamb. And so he'll break the front leg of that lamb. Snap that baby right off. Right? Then he'll mend it. Then he'll put that lamb over his shoulder. And for the next several weeks, he walks with that lamb on his shoulder, where its little head is right there, hearing the heartbeat of the shepherd. So that when he finally can walk again and the shepherd puts him down, what do you think that silly lamb does? It stays right there. It has learned that the place of safety is not where, you know, what adventure lies over here? No, the place of safety is by the voice of the shepherd. You know, and sometimes that's what happens to us, is God has to get our attention in a way that sometimes hurts. And when it does, it's no fun going through it. But the result is that he is drawing us closer to himself, so that we will hear his voice. Because if you're listening to the voice of Jesus, then you're not doing all these bad things. You're not fulfilling the lust of the flesh. If you're listening to the voice of Jesus, then you're not being deceived by the lies of Satan. Amen? And so the Shepherd Psalm, and the 23rd Psalm, whatever you want to call it, it's really filled with a lot of tender, loving ideas in that you want to know the voice of Jesus? Stay near. Stay close to Him. Spend that time in prayer, reading your Word. Like I say, read the red. Amen? Read the red. So that when the devil comes, verse 10, to kill, steal, kill, and destroy, so you can say, oh no, that doesn't sound like my shepherd. Amen? And so the way that you know the voice is to learn the voice and read His Word and be in church and all of that. So, sometimes being close to God comes after some painful experiences. But we should take heart in that, because after He has allowed that to happen, then He's there with open arms just to hold us so that we can be in His bosom. He's sitting there by the rock playing His whatever lute or guitar or whatever that the shepherd is playing, and the other sheep are just bouncing around and, you know, not running off too far. But then there's the ones that they have learned, I want to stay closest to Jesus. Amen? I don't want to stay close to Jesus. I want to stay closest to Jesus. Amen? That's the place of blessing. That's the place. As a matter of fact, and I'll leave you with this illustration. You know, at the Last Supper, Michelangelo's portrayal of the Last Supper is everybody sitting at a big table, okay, which is what they would do in Europe. But in reality, in the East, you didn't have big tables. You reclined at your meals. Your tables were only about that big, and everybody had a pillow that would go under your arm, and then you would, it would leave your right arm free, and then you would, so you would lay kind of like interleaved, you might say. If you had a big family, there might be six on this side of the table and six on this side of the table, and you're sitting like that. Well, the Bible says when John the Beloved, Jesus said, one of you is going to betray me. And John the Beloved, it says, looking up into Jesus' face, said, is it I? Alright. Well, how was he looking up into Jesus' face? Because He had chosen to be right there. He was the closest one to Jesus. He literally was in Jesus' bosom. Amen? And He gets to be called the Beloved. He wanted Jesus the most. And He was willing to make whatever sacrifice. Amen? So that's, like I said, this has been one messed up week. Alright? And to walk away and just say, if we can walk away and say, but I'm closer to Jesus now than I was earlier in the week, then this has been a good week. Amen? All right? The devil comes but to kill, steal, and destroy. But Jesus said, I've come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. Amen? Okay, so, is there something we haven't done? We've taken up the offering. We've said our prayers. We've talked for a while. It's kind of strange. I was going to go to one of the epistles, but oh well. Nothing else has worked out the way I planned this week. All right. So, Father God, I want to thank you for this